Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Tech Podcast. Today is going to be an interesting episode, quite different from previous episodes, but I thought it's worth putting this out there. So essentially, I'm going to have a conversation. It's going to be my first interview on the podcast. And interestingly enough, I will be interviewing AI. So what I've done is this is all done through this sort of AI chat technology where I've, you know, it's all text based, but I'm adding my voice and I've set up like the responses so that it speaks the responses as well. And so we can do this all in audio form and we'll see how it goes. I suppose you could say nerdy topic, but it's to me quite interesting, which is like the history of sort of bits and digital communications. And so we'll get into a lot of that and see how this goes. So I'm going to have to, the way that I have to create this podcast is a little different. It requires a little bit of editing. So there may be some audio bits that don't quite match up, but we'll just do the best that we can. And let me know what you think about this one. It's going to be a little bit long, and it is quite, I would say it's quite informative. You know, one of the things about this AI chat technology is that it's not always 100% accurate. So certainly not vying for like, or I'm not, I could just like any other interview, you wouldn't assume that everything that the guest says is correct. But I would say that this is by far like probably the most knowledgeable, an extremely knowledgeable guest, if you can call it that. So let's get into the interview. Okay, welcome. Let's discuss the basic. This is going to be a little awkward. This is going to be honest with me, but we're going to go for it. Okay. Let's just discuss the basic fundamentals of the history of bits going back to Baud or Baudot and earlier.
The history of bits, or binary digits, can be traced back to the invention of the telegraph in the early 19th century. The telegraph used a system of dots and dashes, also known as Morse code, to represent letters and numbers as sequences of electrical signals. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, technological advancements in telecommunications led to the development of teletypes, which were electromechanical devices used for telecommunication. Teletypes used a 5-bit code, known as the Baudot code, to represent characters. The concept of using binary digits to represent data was first proposed by mathematician and engineer Claude Shannon in 1948. Shannon showed that any form of communication, including digital communication, could be represented as a series of binary digits, bits, that could be transmitted over a communication channel. With the development of electronic computers in the mid-20th century, the use of bits became widespread in computing. The first electronic computers used vacuum tubes, which were bulky and unreliable, but they paved the way for the development of transistor-based computers in the 1950s and 60s. As computer technology continued to evolve, the use of bits became increasingly important. Today, bits are the fundamental building blocks of digital technology and are used to represent all forms of digital information, including text, images, audio, and video.
Can you explain in more detail how Claude Shannon proposed the concept of binary digits? What was the basis for their findings?
Claude Shannon proposed the concept of binary digits, or bits, as a way to represent digital information in a simple and efficient manner. He published a paper in 1948 titled A Mathematical Theory of Communication, which is considered a foundational work in the field of information theory. In this paper, Shannon formalized the concept of information as a measure of uncertainty and showed that it could be quantified. He then went on to demonstrate how digital information could be represented as a series of binary digits, or bits, that could be transmitted over a communication channel. Shannon's basis for proposing the use of bits was rooted in the idea that the simplest and most reliable way to represent digital information was to use a binary system. In a binary system, information is represented by two possible states, such as 1 and 0, which can be interpreted as on and off, true and false, or high and low. Hannan showed that binary digits provided a convenient and efficient way to represent digital information because they could be easily manipulated using electrical circuits, which were becoming increasingly important in the development of electronic computers. He also showed that the number of bits required to represent a piece of information could be minimized by using entropy, a measure of the amount of uncertainty in a system, to represent the information in the most efficient manner possible. Shannon's proposal of the use of binary digits revolutionized the field of digital communication and laid the foundation for the development of modern digital technology. Today, bits are used in virtually all forms of digital communication, including computers, mobile phones, and the internet.
Explain Shannon's demonstration you mentioned.
In his paper A Mathematical Theory of Communication, Claude Shannon demonstrated how digital information could be represented as a series of binary digits, or bits, and transmitted over a communication channel. Shannon's demonstration consisted of several key steps. Definition of information. Shannon defined information as a measure of the reduction of uncertainty. In other words, the more certain one is about the outcome of an event, the less information it provides. Representation of information as a sequence of binary digits. Shannon showed that any piece of information, such as a letter or a number, could be represented as a sequence of binary digits, bits. He also showed that the number of bits required to represent a piece of information could be minimized by using entropy, a measure of the amount of uncertainty in a system, to represent the information in the most efficient manner possible. Transmission of information over a communication channel. Shannon demonstrated how a sequence of binary digits representing a piece of information could be transmitted over a communication channel, such as a telephone line or a radio wave, and reconstructed accurately at the other end. He also introduced the concept of channel capacity, which is the maximum amount of information that can be transmitted over a communication channel, and showed how to optimize the use of a channel to maximize its capacity. Error correction. Shannon showed how error correction techniques, such as forward error correction and error detection, could be used to ensure the accuracy of the information transmitted over a communication channel.
Wasn't there already messages being sent over radio prior to Shannon's work?
Yes, messages were being sent over radio prior to Claude Shannon's work. However, Shannon's work marked a major advancement in the field of digital communication by providing a theoretical foundation for the representation and transmission of digital information. Before Shannon's work, the transmission of information over radio and other communication channels was largely based on ad hoc methods that lacked a mathematical and theoretical foundation. Shannon's definition of information as a measure of uncertainty and his demonstration of how digital information could be represented as a series of binary digits and transmitted over a communication channel provided a systematic and rigorous approach to the study of digital communication.
So let's talk about these transmissions prior to Shannon's work.
Certainly. Before Claude Shannon's work, the transmission of information over radio and other communication channels was based on ad hoc methods and lacked a theoretical foundation. One of the earliest forms of long-distance communication was the telegraph, which used Morse code to represent letters and numbers as sequences of dots and dashes. These sequences could be transmitted over a wire and decoded at the other end to reconstruct the original message. Radio communication was also developed in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Early radio communication was primarily used for point-to-point communication, such as maritime communication, and was based on continuous wave transmission. In this method, a modulated radio wave was used to transmit a message, which could be received and decoded at the other end. As the technology for radio communication improved, radio broadcasting became more widespread, and the transmission of messages over radio became an important means of communication. However, the methods used for radio transmission were still largely ad hoc and lacked a theoretical foundation. It was in this context that Claude Shannon's work marked a major advancement in the field of digital communication. By providing a theoretical foundation for the representation and transmission of digital information, Shannon revolutionized the field and paved the way for the development of modern digital technology.
What is maritime communication?
Maritime communication refers to the communication systems used for shipping and navigation at sea. This includes communication between ships and shore-based stations, and between ships and aircraft. Early forms of maritime communication were primarily based on visual signaling, such as flags, lights, and smoke signals. With the advent of wireless telegraphy, radio communication became an important means of maritime communication, providing a reliable and efficient way to transmit messages over long distances. Radio communication has played a crucial role in maritime navigation and safety, allowing ships to communicate their position, status, and other important information. In addition, radio communication has also played an important role in facilitating search and rescue operations at sea. Today, maritime communication continues to be an important aspect of shipping and navigation, and modern maritime communication systems use advanced technology, such as satellite communication and digital data transmission, to provide reliable and efficient communication between ships, shore-based stations, and other vessels.
So let's talk about the earliest long-distance communication and how that was invented.
One of the earliest forms of long-distance communication was the smoke signal. This is an ancient form of visual communication in which smoke is used to send messages over long distances. Smoke signals have been used by many cultures throughout history, including the indigenous peoples of North America and various tribes in Africa and Australia. Another early form of long-distance communication was the semaphore, a system of visual signaling using flags. The semaphore system was used for communication over land and was especially important for military and government communications. The telegraph, developed in the early 19th century, marked a major advance in long-distance communication. The telegraph used Morse code to represent letters and numbers as sequences of dots and dashes that could be transmitted over a wire and decoded at the other end. The telegraph revolutionized communication, allowing messages to be transmitted quickly and reliably over long distances.
Did the telegraph take inspiration from the semaphore?
Yes, the telegraph was inspired by the semaphore system. The semaphore system used flags to communicate messages over long distances and was an early example of a visual signaling system. The telegraph built on this concept by using electrical signals to transmit messages over a wire, rather than using flags.
Specifically, how did the flags relate to the telegraph?
The flags in the semaphore system were used to represent letters and numbers in a visual signaling system. The semaphore system used two flags, which could be positioned in different ways to represent different letters and numbers. For example, the position of the flags could represent the dot and dash patterns used in Morse code. The telegraph, on the other hand, used electrical signals to represent letters and numbers instead of flags. The telegraph used Morse code, which represented letters and numbers as sequences of dots and dashes, to transmit messages over a wire. The electrical signals in the telegraph corresponded to the dots and dashes in Morse code, just as the positions of the flags in the semaphore system corresponded to the dots and dashes.
Explain in more depth how the semaphore system worked.
The semaphore system was a method of visual communication that used flags to represent letters and numbers. In the semaphore system, two flags were used, which could be positioned in different ways to represent different letters and numbers. For example, one flag could be held straight up to represent the number 1, while two flags held at 45-degree angles to each other could represent the letter E, by positioning the flags in different ways. Messages could be transmitted using a code based on the positions of the flags. The semaphore system was effective for communication over long distances, as the flags could be seen from a distance. Observers could use telescopes or binoculars to view the flags and decode the message. In this sense, the semaphore system was similar to the telegraph, which used electrical signals to represent letters and numbers instead of flags. However, the semaphore system was limited by the speed at which messages could be transmitted. To transmit a message using the semaphore system, the flags had to be physically moved into the correct position for each letter or number. This was a slow process and limited the speed at which messages could be transmitted.
How did the sender and receiver of a semaphore know when to go to the next letter or number?
In the semaphore system, the sender and receiver used a standardized set of signaling protocols to transmit and receive messages. These protocols determined the timing and sequence of the flag movements, and allowed the sender and receiver to know when to move on to the next letter or number in the message. For example, there may have been a protocol specifying that the flags had to be held in a certain position for a set amount of time before being moved to the next position. Or there may have been a protocol specifying that a certain number of flag movements had to be completed before moving on to the next letter or number. In addition, the sender and receiver may have used visual cues, such as a series of flashes from a lantern or other light source, to signal the start and end of a message. These cues help to ensure that both the sender and receiver were in sync and were able to understand the message correctly.
Okay. So, was the same set of symbols used in semaphore and in the telegraph?
Yes, the same set of symbols, specifically Morse code, was used in both the semaphore system and the telegraph. Morse code is a system of representing letters and numbers as sequences of dots and dashes, and it was used in both the semaphore system and the telegraph to represent letters and numbers. In the semaphore system, the positions of the flags represented the dots and dashes in Morse code. Observers used telescopes or binoculars to view the flags and decode the message. In the telegraph, the electrical signals represented the dots and dashes in Morse code. The telegraph operator would use a device called a telegraph key to send a series of electrical signals, which corresponded to the dots and dashes in Morse code, over a wire. The receiving operator would use a device called a sounder to listen for the electrical signals and decode the message. In this sense, both the semaphore system and the telegraph used Morse code to represent letters and numbers, and both were based on the same underlying principle of using symbols to transmit messages over a distance. The telegraph was a major advance over the semaphore system because it was faster and more reliable, but the use of Morse code in both systems allowed for a smooth transition from one technology to the other.
And so how many different flags were used in a single semaphore system?
The number of flags used in a semaphore system varied depending on the specific implementation. Some semaphore systems used only two flags, while others used more. For example, in the CHAP system, which was widely used in France, two flags were used to represent letters and numbers. The flags were held in various positions to represent different combinations of dots and dashes in Morse code. In other semaphore systems, such as the British Admiralty system, more than two flags were used to increase the number of symbols that could be represented. These additional flags allowed for the transmission of more complex messages, but also made the system more complicated and harder to use. Regardless of the number of flags used, the semaphore system was based on the principle of using different flag positions to represent different symbols. The specific number of flags used was a trade-off between the complexity of the system and the number of symbols that could be represented.
Did the CHOP system and Admiralty system both use Morse code?
Yes, both the CHAP system and the British Admiralty system used Morse code to represent letters and numbers. The CHAP system used two flags to represent the dots and dashes of Morse code. Observers used telescopes or binoculars to view the flags and decode the message. The British Admiralty system used more than two flags to increase the number of symbols. Regardless of the specific system used, the use of Morse code allowed for a standardized representation of letters and numbers, which made it easier to transmit messages over long distances. The widespread use of Morse code in both semaphore and telegraph systems helped to ensure that messages could be understood by a wide range of people, even if they were using different systems or technologies.
So couldn't someone intercept the message if they had a visual line of sight through binoculars?
Yes, it was possible for someone to intercept a message sent using the semaphore system if they had visual line of sight and a clear view of the flags. Because the semaphore system used flags that were visible from a distance, messages sent using this system were potentially vulnerable to interception by anyone with a clear view of the flags. Observers with telescopes or binoculars could watch the flags and decode the message, making it possible for them to intercept the message. However, the semaphore system was still widely used because it was fast and reliable compared to other forms of long-distance communication at the time. The use of Morse code in the semaphore system also allowed messages to be transmitted more quickly and accurately than other systems that used different symbols or codes. Overall, while the semaphore system was vulnerable to interception, it was still widely used because it was a significant improvement over other forms of long-distance communication at the time. And its vulnerabilities were seen as acceptable given the state of technology at the time.
What time periods was the semaphore system used?
The semaphore system was used primarily in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. The first successful semaphore line was established in France in 1792, and the system quickly became popular and was used extensively throughout Europe and in other parts of the world. The widespread use of the telegraph in the mid-19th century marked the decline of the semaphore system, as the telegraph was faster, more reliable, and more secure than the semaphore system. However, the semaphore system continued to be used in some areas, especially in remote or rural locations, where the telegraph was not yet available. In total, the semaphore system was used as a primary means of long-distance communication for about 50 to 60 years, from the late 18th century to the mid-19th century, when it was largely replaced by the telegraph. Despite its relatively short lifespan, the semaphore system played a significant role in the history of long-distance communication and helped lay the groundwork for the development of more advanced communication technologies.
What year was Morse code developed?
Morse code was developed in the early 1830s by Samuel Morse and Alfred Vail. The code was developed as a way to transmit messages over the telegraph, which was a new invention at the time. Morse code was designed to be simple, yet flexible enough to represent all the letters of the alphabet, as well as numbers and punctuation marks. Morse code was first demonstrated in 1838 and quickly became the standard for telegraph communication. The widespread use of Morse code helped to ensure that messages sent using the telegraph could be understood by a wide range of people, even if they were using different telegraph systems or technologies.
If Morse code was first demonstrated in 1838, how could the first successful semaphore line been established in France in 1792?
I apologize for the error in my previous response. The first successful semaphore line in France was not established in 1792, but rather in the late 18th century. The development of the telegraph and Morse code took place several decades later, in the early 1830s. The semaphore system was a system of sending messages using flags, whereas Morse code was a system of sending messages using a series of dots and dashes that corresponded to letters, numbers, and punctuation marks. The two systems were developed independently and were used for different purposes. The semaphore system was used primarily for long-distance communication, while Morse code was used primarily for telegraph communication.
You said the first semaphore line was established in France in 1792.
I apologize for the mistake in my previous message. The first successful semaphore line was actually established in France in 1792. My apologies for any confusion caused. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
I'm confused. Did the semaphore line that was actually established in France in 1792 use Morse code?
No, the semaphore line established in France in 1792 did not use Morse code. The semaphore system used a system of flags to send messages, not dots and dashes as in Morse code. Morse code was not developed until the early 1830s. Several decades after the establishment of the first successful semaphore line in France, the semaphore system and Morse code were two separate and distinct methods of communication, each with its own strengths and weaknesses.
Explain how the semaphore line established in France in 1792 worked in detail.
The semaphore line established in France in 1792 was a system of long-distance communication that used a series of towers equipped with movable arms or flags.
And so this part is quite interesting. It sort of started to generate a response and then sort of stopped. So I actually had to sort of reload and regenerate responses. So I'll ask again. Explain how the semaphore line established in France in 1792 worked in detail.
The semaphore line established in France in 1792 used a system of two poles with movable arms, or blades, to send messages. The blades could be positioned in different angles to represent different letters, numbers, and symbols. A set of standardized positions was used to represent each character. The sender and receiver of the message would each have a set of semaphore arms. To send a message, the sender would use his semaphore arms to indicate the position of each character in the message, one character at a time. The receiver would observe the positions of the sender's arms and use his own semaphore arms to record the positions, thus decoding the message. The semaphore line would typically consist of a series of stations, each equipped with a set of semaphore arms, spaced out at regular intervals along the line of sight. A message would be sent from one station to the next, until it reached the final destination. The use of multiple stations allowed for messages to be sent over long distances, as the message could be relayed from station to station. The semaphore system was fast and efficient, and it was used for several decades as a primary means of long-distance communication. However, it had some limitations, such as the need for clear line of sight between the sender and receiver, and the difficulty in transmitting messages during bad weather or at night. These limitations eventually led to the development of other communication technologies, such as the telegraph and Morse code, which could be used to send messages more reliably over greater distances.
What were the standardized positions called?
The standardized positions used in the semaphore line established in France in 1792 were called semaphore positions. Each semaphore position represented a different character, such as a letter, number, or symbol. A codebook was used to translate the positions into characters, and the codebook was used by both the sender and receiver of the message to ensure that the messenger was transmitted and received accurately. The semaphore positions were standardized across the entire system, so that messages could be transmitted and received consistently, regardless of the distance between the sender and receiver.
Where did the name semaphore come from?
The word semaphore comes from the Greek word sema, meaning sign, and phoros, meaning bearer or carrier. The term was first used in the early 19th century to describe a system of communication that used flags or other visual signals to transmit messages over long distances. The semaphore system was named as such because it relied on a system of visual signals, or semaphores, to carry the message.
So during 1792, Morse code had not yet been invented, correct?
That's correct. Morse code was not invented until the late 1830s, several decades after the first successful semaphore line was established in France in 1792.
Okay, so there was other communication methods between the semaphore and Morse code?
Yes, there were several other communication methods that were developed and used between the semaphore and Morse code. One of the most significant of these was the electric telegraph, which was developed in the late 1820s and 1830s. The electric telegraph used electrical signals to transmit messages over long distances, and it was the first communication system that allowed messages to be sent instantly across long distances. In addition to the electric telegraph, there were also several other forms of long-distance communication that were developed and used during this period, including the optical telegraph, which used visual signals to transmit messages, and the chemical telegraph, which used chemical reactions to transmit messages. These communication systems helped to lay the foundation for the development of the telegraph and Morse code, and they played a significant role in shaping the communication landscape of the 19th and early 20th centuries.
Please explain the optical telegraph and chemical telegraph.
The optical telegraph, also known as the visual telegraph, was a system of communication that used visual signals, such as flags or lights, to transmit messages over long distances. The optical telegraph was based on the same basic principle as the semaphore system, but it used a series of towers with movable arms, rather than flags, to transmit messages. The arms of the towers could be positioned in different ways to represent different letters or numbers, and messages could be transmitted from one tower to the next, allowing for long-distance communication. The optical telegraph was widely used in Europe and elsewhere in the early 19th century and played an important role in the development of communication technology. The visual telegraph was a system of communication that used visual signals, such as flags or lights. The chemical telegraph, on the other hand, was a type of telegraph that used chemical reactions to transmit messages. In a chemical telegraph, different chemicals were used to represent different letters or numbers, and messages were transmitted by mixing the appropriate chemicals in a series of cells along the telegraph line. When a message was sent, the chemicals would react in a specific way, producing a visible signal that could be interpreted by the receiver. The chemical telegraph was a relatively early form of telegraph and was used primarily in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. While it was not as widely used as the optical telegraph or the electric telegraph, it played a significant role in the development of communication technology and laid the foundation for the development of other forms of telegraphy.
Would the visual telegraph be a type of semaphore?
Yes, the visual telegraph, also known as the optical telegraph, can be considered a type of semaphore. The visual telegraph used visual signals, such as flags or lights, to transmit messages, much like the semaphore system. However, instead of using flags held by a person, the visual telegraph used The Visual Telegraph used a series of towers with movable arms to represent different letters or numbers. The Visual Telegraph was an improvement over the traditional semaphore system in that it allowed for messages to be transmitted over longer distances, as the towers could be spaced further apart. Both the semaphore system and the visual telegraph can be considered early forms of communication technology that paved the way for the development of the electric telegraph and other forms of communication.
How did the visual telegraph work specifically with lights?
The visual telegraph using lights works similarly to the traditional semaphore system, but with some modifications to take advantage of the properties of light. The visual telegraph using lights would typically use a system of towers, each equipped with a series of lamps that could be lit in different combinations to represent different letters or numbers. The lamps could be lit in different ways, such as flashing on and off or being lit for different durations, to represent different characters. The towers would be placed a certain distance apart, and messages could be sent from one tower to the next, allowing messages to be transmitted over long distances. The receiving tower would then decode the message by interpreting the different light combinations and relaying the message to its intended recipient. The visual telegraph using lights was an improvement over the traditional semaphore system in that it allowed for messages to be transmitted faster and over longer distances, as well as at night or in inclement weather.
Can you explain the type of lamps used in detail?
The type of lamps used in the visual telegraph system varied depending on the design of the system and the available technology at the time. In early designs of the visual telegraph, oil lamps or candles were used as the source of light. These lamps would be positioned in different ways to represent different characters, such as by being lit for different durations or by being covered and uncovered. As technology advanced, more efficient and reliable lamps were developed, such as the Argand lamp, which used a wick and a glass chimney to improve the efficiency of the flame. In later designs of the visual telegraph, electric lamps were used, which allowed for even greater speed and reliability. These electric lamps could be designed to flash on and off at different rates to represent different characters, and could be controlled remotely using electrical switches. The use of electric lamps allowed for the visual telegraph to be used at a much faster rate than earlier designs that used oil lamps or candles, and paved the way for the development of the electric telegraph.
What's the history of the Argand lamp?
The Argand lamp is named after Swiss scientist Aimé Argand, who patented the design in 1780. The Argand lamp was a significant improvement over earlier oil lamps because it burned brighter and more efficiently. The lamp was designed with a circular wick that surrounded the flame, and a glass chimney that fit over the wick. The glass chimney created a draft that fed oxygen to the flame, which allowed it to burn brighter and hotter than previous oil lamps. Argand's lamp was widely adopted in Europe for both domestic and industrial uses, and it paved the way for further improvements in lighting technology. The design of the Argand lamp influenced the development of the kerosene lamp, which used a similar wick and chimney design but burned a different fuel, and eventually led to the development of the electric lamp. The Argand lamp was also used in some early telegraph systems, including the visual telegraph, where it was used to transmit messages by lighting lamps in different ways.
Interesting discussion. What should we discuss next based on the conversation thus far?
Given our previous conversation, it seems like we have covered the basics of the history of communication technology, starting with the semaphore system, the telegraph, and Morse code. If you would like to continue the discussion, we could talk about the development of the telephone and how it revolutionized long-distance communication. Or, if you're interested in a different topic, I'm happy to discuss anything else you'd like.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to help and answer any questions you have. Don't hesitate to reach out if you have any more questions.